Halfway home with you here on a beautiful, steamy Saturday afternoon in the A in the great state of Georgia. Bunch going on. We got the Olympics. Abe, I know you're listening, but I'm not breaking it down. The women's 3-on-3 is about to start. We watched the shot put. I've seen some men's basketball. We got everything going on. The track and field. Shakari Richardson finished in second. It's been a fun afternoon here watching some of the Olympics. But again, Abe breaks it down into a fine powder into a way that I don't think anybody else on the planet does, quite frankly, even those covering it on NBC. But, you know, he'll have more of that coming for you after I get done tomorrow. So Abe and I, it's funny, this weekend we're doing a switcheroo. Today, he was on the early shift and I'm on the mid-afternoon shift, and tomorrow we're switching. I'll be on with you from 10 to 1. Because John Fricky is in parts unknown right now on vacation. And Abe will be doing the mid-afternoon show leading into Atlanta United coverage, which features Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. So Abe's got a long day ahead of him tomorrow, but I'm putting in a long day today as well, doing the full four leading you up until 6 o'clock when our good buddy Caleb Johnson comes your way then. And also, if you haven't voted on our poll, please do so. We were talking about, once again, my dating life coming back into the fold after a disastrous 2023. I decided to put myself back out there. And the question just occurred to me, and I've gotten some really good answers today. How long does it take before you know that you're ready to pursue a relationship with somebody? Meaning, how many dates? And we've gotten a really good amount of responses here on the Twitter poll, as well as on the text line at 404-726-0929. So share your story with me. I've gotten a lot of people sharing how they met and how long they've been together, which is awesome, and love to hear those types of success stories. Hopefully another success story is the Atlanta Falcons in 2024. And earlier in the show, I was playing some audio for you guys, and I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to get to. But we heard a comment from Arthur Blank about how long Kirk Cousins could potentially be the quarterback of the Falcons. And I kind of went off a little bit, and I'm not going to do that again. But I do want you to hear from the likes of Terry Fontenot, Jimmy Lake, Drake London, because I wanted you to hear them before. But when the owner says that Kirk Cousins, you know, hopefully his time in the league is more than 3 to 4 years, that doesn't match up with Michael Penix. I don't know if he meant in general or as a Falcon, but it doesn't matter when you say that. It's going to make you think. So, yeah, I went off on that. But let's start here with Terry Fontenot. He was talking about both Kirk and Grady and how they're progressing. This was on the Midday Show.
But, yes, like with you look at Kirk Cousins, and Kirk, he had a good offseason and did a lot during the offseason, and he's full go. And he's out there going. He looks really good. So we're excited about where Kirk is. And same with Grady. It's great to see Grady flying around with where he is. So we always have to have plans for not just for Grady and Kirk coming off injuries, but also there's going to be some times you see some off days with some of the veteran players, whether they're coming off an injury or not. So we have to make sure that we manage that the right way and with our performance team and make sure we're managing reps the right way. But in terms of injuries, I'm knocking on wood, but we're in a great place in terms of the way the guys have went through the offseason and where we are now. It's been really good.
Okay, I hope so. Kirk is a full go. That was the exact quote there. He hasn't been a full go in practice, I would say. I described it earlier how he's kind of like, you know, jogging-ish in practice. He's got a really funny running form. If you haven't seen it, he runs like a robot. There's videos online that show it. But he's definitely not sprinting around, especially on, like, backfield motion plays. They're being very careful about what he does, you know, making sure feet don't get crossed up and that type of stuff. And Grady looks good, too. So hopefully all arrows are pointing up. One more from the GM, Terry Fontenot, on middays. What about our boy Pitts? Big things coming, right?
He looks really good. He's and look, it's all about, y'all know it, it's all about relationships. And I'll tell you what, in a short off season, these coaches have done a really good job from Raheem to Zach to Koger. They've built a really strong relationship where there's already real trust throughout the whole roster, but they're really close with Kyle and to where they can coach him hard and coach him the right way. And I know he's working on all the aspects of the blocking, working on everything, but he's done some really good things. Mm-hmm. He's flying around and playing with a lot of confidence.
I could care less about the blocking at this point. Like, dude, just catch, you know, 65 balls for 950 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like, that's all I need to see from Kyle Pitts. They brought in Charlie Warner to be the blocking guy. Like, you have a blocking guy. I don't care about Kyle Pitts. By the way, their tight end room, I'm just saying, from what I've seen so far, pretty good and pretty stacked. They got a couple of other guys. Fitzpatrick is in there. He's back for another season. And they got this guy, Ross Dwelly, who's played in the league for a while. He's a big guy, and he can catch the ball. I've seen him make some pretty acrobatic catches. One specifically, throw from Michael Penix, where he was diving out in front, made the catch with his hands, brought the ball in, and then hit the ground, but it was able to maintain control. So it's going to be interesting to see what guys get reps when and who makes the team ultimately in the tight end room. All right, Jimmy Lake, this is the one I was talking about, the one I wanted to get to earlier, but we ran out of time. Mike Hughes, he's been taking the reps with the CB2 number one team. I asked Joe Patrick about this earlier as well, and Jimmy Lake described why.
Nothing motivated that. I would just say, you know, Mike's a really good player for us. He's played really good football in his career, and he's a guy that can do multiple things for us. He can play inside. He can play outside. He had a really good spring, and so he's earned the right to have have more reps and play with those guys.
The GoPro footage that the quarterbacks are shooting, how much value do you get out of that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that cut was a little elongated there, talking about another question from another reporter. But the money stuff there was obviously Jimmy Lake talking about Mike Hughes being the starting corner. I mean, not that he's a giant, but he's definitely bigger than Clark Phillips, who's just, I mean, again, we interviewed him again this year. He's just a little guy. Like, that's just what it comes down to. But he's very well built, Clark Phillips. Like, when you stand next to him, he's not, like, thin like a rail. He has a lot of muscle on him, but he's just not tall. And it just really prohibits you from playing the position at an elite level where you can guard guys that are the size of a Mike Evans or a Chris Olave that you're just giving up, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 inches to. It just makes it really, really tough. So that's going to be one to monitor there. Jimmy Lake was also talking about how the pass rush will evolve. They drafted a lot of guys. Who's going to pan out?
It's going to develop as the season goes. But really, for me, pass rush is all 11. It's all 11. We have to be able to play really tight coverage for that quarterback to hold it an extra tick, for the pass rush to hit home. But when we're rushing the passer, it may not just be the four down rushers. It may not just be the outside linebackers. This could be a corner. This could be a nickel. It could be Jesse Bates coming from 15 yards deep rolling off the edge. It's going to be all of our rushers. And then when those guys are rushing, whoever's dropping in coverage, we got to be able to make sure we're dropping in the right spots, covering up the right spots, cause some confusion for that quarterback, cause some confusion for pass protection. And that's how our pass rush will really start to heat up.
Chris Thomas again with you till 6 o'clock right here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Jimmy, but is Ruka Roro and Braylon Trice and Brandon Dorlus, all these guys as rookies? You just described some pretty complex stuff there, my friend. Are they going to be able to adapt to that as rookies? That's a lot to put on their plate. We shall see. All right, one more here. Drake London talking about his rapport with Kirk Cousins and how it's grown.
Yeah, it's growing, but Kirk is an amazing quarterback. I don't think he really cares who's out there. He's going to get the ball to somebody, you know? So if our report is good, in which it has been, we're just continuing to grow as we go.
I will say this, for those of you who couldn't make it last night, Drake London had a little bit of his preseason coming out party last night. He and Kirk got on the same page. They caught a rhythm about halfway through practice, and they had a bunch of connections in the end zone. So that was obviously really good to see. Listen, man, Drake is a really, really good receiver. Can Kirk unlock that next level for Drake? Because he's had like 850 yards, 900 yards. Is he finally going to get that 1,000-yard season? And is he finally going to have, you know, more than 5, 6, 7 touchdowns in a season? He's going to need to. him and Kyle Pitts. Listen, Darnell Mooney, what's up, Darnell? He's going to be used sparingly as a, you know, true number one target. There will be, I would assume, given the fact that he's a burner, some deep balls designed for him specifically. And we have been seeing some gadget plays out of the backfield for him as well, some sweep and motion type stuff. But, you know, the guys that are really going to need to eat are Pitts and Drake London. We know that. All right, so good stuff there. That was a recap of your Falcon sound from this week. We brought you the best audio from your guys. All right, when we get back, how about five true and false questions? Because we got a lot to discuss here. There's a lot going on, and when I'm talking about it, you know I'm talking about the Falcons. Because we're at a point now in the season where we need to start seeing everything that we've been dreaming about for this offense and the capability of what exactly this defense can be. Is the offense really going to score 27, 28 points a game? Is the defense with a bunch of rookies and guys trying to fill positions for the first time really going to pan out? We'll see if those questions are part of the five that Eric has for me next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas hanging out with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Caleb Johnson comes your way then. A bunch of stuff going on right now. We got USA versus, I believe, China in the 3-on-3. Ryan Howard, salute to our Atlanta Dream. She's out there right now with Haley Van Lith and Darcia Hambry. They're up right now, I think, 18-13. Keep an eye on that. Serbia's taking on South Sudan in basketball. That's what we got on the TVs right here in the studio. Braves play tonight. We'll see if they keep their winning ways up. And yeah, it's just an all-around good fun day for sports. Again, I was joking. I was busting Abe Gordon's chops to start the show. I do like the Olympics, don't get me wrong. I just think it's funny. Like, I think the things he loves most in this world are his dog Chipper and the Olympics. I've just never seen him more passionate about anything else in my entire life that I've known Abe now for 3.5 years. I mean, he really breaks this stuff down. Like, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. I just don't know how else to describe it. I was listening.
He's patriotic, sir. He's patriotic.
I mean, but to a level like, you know, he's patriotic in the sense that he's, you know, memorize the Declaration of Independence. That's what we're talking about here. That's the level of patriotism Abe Gordon describes for the Olympics. But we just have fun with him because he's really into it. He's into everything. So he'll keep you abreast on the minute details that I'm not giving you tomorrow when he's on. But I will give you the broad strokes, like Shakari Richardson finishing in second earlier today. Big things going on in track and field. The shot put finals were on as well. With all that out of the way, a little recap of what's going on. Let's talk some more Falcons with five true and false questions.
It's time for five true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, you know, listening to that sound from our new defense coordinator, Jimmy Leakes, the pass rush, he says, is going to take a group effort. All 11 needs to get to it. But the bottom line is somebody's got to get to the quarterback. Somebody needs to be putting them on the ground, and somebody's need to rack up some stacks. So my question to you, Chris Turtle Thomas, true or false, do the Falcons have a double-digit sack man on their roster?
No. False. Unfortunately, they don't. I mean, literally, they don't. Like, if you actually look at the roster, I mean, there is no double-digit sack guy on this team right now. Arnold Ebiketie could be. Maybe Zach Harrison. Well, if he's moving inside, then he's probably not going to be that guy. Braylon Trice, are you going to count on him as a rookie for 10 sacks? Lorenzo Carter? So I think what you said to start the question is right. I think it's going to be a sack by committee sort of a thing. You know, one game it's one guy, the next game it's another guy. I think when we look up, they'll finish maybe in the mid to high 30s in sacks. I don't see much more than that, unless somebody just turns into the second coming of Vic Beasley and just, you know, has a season out of nowhere. I'm going to say false.
I hope you're wrong. I tend to lean towards that side, but I hope there is. All of a sudden, we're in game three, and we've got a guy who's off to a hot start. He's got already four or five. You know, he got maybe one or two. And
but who is that guy?
I'm hoping it's either Zach Harrison or Braylon Twice.
But Zach Harrison, they're saying now, is going to play more inside. So I don't even know how many chances he's going to have. Unless he's the second coming of Aaron Donald, and he's getting, you know, 13 sacks a year up the middle. It's been a problem-y. It goes back to the draft.
We'll talk about that a little more off air. All right, keep going here. True or false? So I'm hearing and reading good reports about the return of Eddie Goldman. It only took 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, but
three retirements
later. Yeah. You know, they say that he's been running some with the ones. He's definitely looking really good when he's running with the twos. But I just got to ask this. Is it just training camp hype or true or false? Eddie Goldman makes the 53-man roster.
It's going to be tough. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are going in that sphere right now. You got, obviously, Grady Jarrett. Obviously, David Onyemata. You got, obviously, Ruka Rororo. You got Brandon Dorlus. You got all these guys. Kentavious Street. TQ Graham. I mean, you got all these guys that are playing right now that are competing for those spots. Does Eddie Goldman deserve a roster spot out beyond all those guys? I don't know. Unless he's, I mean, I haven't been able to tell from what I've seen so far if he's, like, absolutely dominating. But I know he's been in the mix. But is that going to be enough? I don't know.
I mean, cut down day in NFL, around the NFL, is always tough. And there's always some surprising names that get released and cut. And like you said, we've been waiting on this guy 3 years. And is he the same person he was 3 years ago when he came from the Bears? How can he be? He's 3 years old. I know he hasn't had any reps or wear and tear on his body, but it's 3 years. But, you know, I was reading an article on Falcons.com. It's like, wow, he's really good in practice. But we'll see. I personally wouldn't even let him come back. I'm like, no, you fooled me twice.
No, I just think it's a matter of depth. Again, how many names did I just rattle off?
Seven.
Right.
Yeah.
So is there room at the end for him?
Yeah.
They drafted three interior defensive linemen. Three. And they're all expected to make the roster, you would think, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Right. All right. Keep going here on this edition of Falcons True or False here on the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas. All right. Staying on the defensive side of the ball. Some reports that I've been reading and heard said that DeMarco Helms is not necessarily having his best camp as of yet, and as of right now, Richie Grant is still projected to be your starting strong safety. So true or false, Helms can unplant Richie Grant and be taking this strong safety position over?
I'm going to say right now false because Richie Grant's been getting the run. DeMarco Helms, ironically, though, had a really, really big play last night where he dislodged the ball from the – I think it was Ray McLeod who was catching it. And the offense didn't like it. They thought it was a little too hot for an open practice at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So you know what that says? He's probably trying to prove a little something. Trying to say, hey, like, don't forget about me. I think they'll both play anyway because I don't think either one of them is good enough right now to secure the spot for an entire season without giving way at some point, making a mistake. Richie Grant, his problem has been the long ball because he'll whiff and then the defender just runs free. And that's happened way too many times, unfortunately, with Richie. So if he can work on that, like staying with his defender and not trying to make the big play when the big play isn't there and just...
Just take a Campbell, see if we can get that... see if this went off. No, just play defense, shutdown defense.
Right. There's too many times where he tries to do something a little extra and it backfires on him and then the guy's running free to the end zone. That's happened on more than a couple of occasions, but because there's been nobody else there to challenge him, he keeps getting run.
Yeah, but this is the deal. That's when he came out of UCF, that's actually what made his name because he was a turnover machine at UCF doing that exact thing. But that's a power five.
Yeah, harder to do that same thing in the NFL. You can't jump routes as easily in the NFL as you can in college.
Exactly. Go back and look at that tape. Oh, look at him go with instinct and take it to the house. Yeah, power five, buddy. Have a good luck with that in the NFL. All right, keep it going here. We got two more to go in this week's edition of Falcons True or False. We'll go over to the wide receivers now. And, you know, lots of good guys out here. Lots of guys trying to make a – comeback season or a big number season. So I got another number out here, and it's still the same thing, double digits. Can anybody on this wide receiver core get to double digits and touchdowns?
We better have two.
Two?
Yeah.
Two?
Two.
Can we get – we haven't had one in 8 years.
I'm expecting two. Pitts and London. I'm expecting –
neither one of them have ever done in their career.
Both of them are going to have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, or it's close.
Wow.
Pitts may have slightly under 1,000 yards, but I think they'll both get around 10 touchdowns. Yeah. Because you got to think, too, if Kirk is going to throw between 30 and 35 touchdowns, who are they going to? Right.
If you get double digits from plus out of one receiver,
right? Okay. Bijan gets you maybe four or five.
Okay, you're at 20 now, or close to 20.
Close to 20. Well, more than slight. Let's say 23 between Bijan, Pitts, and Drake. Let's say 23.
Okay, and you've still got a backup tight end that should get 5 to 7. And maybe
no, Charlie Warner's not getting 5 to 7 touchdowns. Well, Darnell Mooney, I think, is going to get 3 or 4.
Okay.
So now that's 26, 27. And then you sprinkle 1 or 2 for a Kadarius Hyde, yeah, for a Ray Ray, uh-huh, for a Rondale Moore, and that'll make up the other 3 or 4. So, yeah.
All right.
Two.
Oh, man. Actually, we should have two Pro Bowlers there. Two All Pros.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We should.
All right. Last one on the true or false. Okay. So the guys are head down to Miami for the inner squad practices. If you are Falcons fans out there and you hit it, bring your wet gear because it's going to be some rainy days. South Florida, if you're a Florida resident, prepare. You know, you guys got a hurricane possibly hit it your way, but I was just looking at the band. Looks like it's going to curve around South Florida, hit more of that Central Florida and Gulf side. But it's still rain every day in the forecast down there in Fort Lauderdale. So it's going to be some bad weather and some guys getting their first live contact versus another team. So true or false or over or under, two inter-squad fights breaking up during these practices. That's my favorite time.
I'm gonna say true because the Falcons have been a little chippy with each other. So
that's what happens.
If that's their attitude going into this thing, then I think there's a pretty good chance that we could see a little bit of fisticuffs flying down there in Miami. And these are two teams that have a lot to prove.
Yep.
These are two teams that are trending in the right direction, you would say, between quarterback situation, wide receiver situation. Dolphins got a couple of big pieces banged up on defense. Yeah, I think it might get a little testy down there in Miami, and I would love to see it.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of turning on ESPN when they, because there's going to be a lot of teams doing this next week. A lot of teams around the league will be having the inner squad, you know, practices with one another, and you'll be like, yep, look at this fight from Miami and the Falcons and the Dolphins and this, that, and the other. I'm looking forward to it. Nobody get injured. Nobody break no hand, punching a helmet. But I wouldn't mind seeing a little scrapping, a little scruffling, and let's see this kind of attitude these guys have.
Yeah, hopefully our friends with Falcons Media are able to capture it so we could see it on Twitter and X and all that stuff. Alrighty, great job on the 5 true and false questions. When we get back, our buddy Joe DeLeon is going to join us from the Believe Network. He covers both college and pro. Going to ask him about what's going on at Georgia, if he still thinks they're favored after losing Ra-Ra Thomas. We'll whip around all the NFL headlines. Couple of guys in Dallas still looking to get paid. Which ones are they going to choose and who's going to be left out? And also, those Dolphins we were just talking about, did they make the right decision? They got a lot of money invested in their big three, Tua, Waddle, and Tyreek Hill. Is that going to hamper them for the rest of their squad? All that and more coming up next. Chris Thomas hanging out with you until 6 p.m. Where else? Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and on the Odyssey app. Heading towards the back end of a full four with you here on a gorgeous Saturday afternoon in the A and the great state of Georgia on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in our buddy Joe DeLeon from the Believe Network. He covers both college and pro ball. Joe, appreciate the time as always. How are you?
Doing good. We're getting so close. That Hall of Fame game that we got to watch just makes me feel so excited for the season to start.
Yeah, even though we didn't see, probably couldn't name one player on each team on the field, but that doesn't matter. Let's start down in Miami. We got some news today, and just so happens that the Falcons are going down there this week for a little practice and then a preseason game next weekend. What do you make of the investment, so much money into their top three offensive players in Tua, Waddle, and now Tyreek?
Yeah, I think that the way that they've constructed their roster is perfect for the way that Mike McDaniel wants to run his offense. And to do whatever you can to lock down the flow and the consistency and the explosiveness, I think that's really important for their long-term future. I feel like a lot of people, and I was one of these people who, it took a little bit of a negative angle with looking at the Tua contract of, you know, does he really deserve it? But at the same time, it is so difficult to find just consistency at quarterback in the NFL. And we've seen so many teams just laying in purgatory for so many years. The Bears are a perfect example of that. And hopefully they end up finding their guy now with Caleb Williams. To have an understanding of what the future looks like at the position, even though Tua doesn't have the biggest arm, he might not create the biggest splash plays like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, but he's the right guy to deliver the ball to Jalen Waddle, to Tyreek Hill, to allow them to pick up huge amounts of yards after the catch. It works so well. So for them to have future solidified on offense, I think is huge for the long-term success of that team.
Do you foresee the Falcons' offense being able to have success against the Dolphins' defense as a couple of their key guys are still coming back from injury?
Yeah, I would say so. I feel like the Falcons' defense, their secondary in particular. I know that A.J. Terrell has been fantastic, but I really truly don't know who exactly is going to be matching up in practice and is going to be able to lock down some of those guys. But I would believe that the Dolphins are going to have a pretty easy time trying to move the ball during practice.
All right, when it comes to some other headlines going on in the NFL, you just mentioned a guy in Josh Allen. I think the Bills are the wild card team in the AFC for sure because they lost a couple of key pieces. Do you think the window is closed there, or is it still open for a championship?
Absolutely. I think that this whole team for the Bills, they're slowly improving, and I'm excited to see what the receiving room is going to look like now that they added Keon Coleman into the mix. I feel like he could be the perfect marriage between a quarterback and a receiver, that their play styles really work well against one another, because we know that Josh Allen likes to take a lot of risks at times when he's playing. And to have somebody who, if he sees Keon Coleman open in a contested situation and he wants to take that risk, I'm confident that Keon Coleman is going to come down with that ball. He is a premier jump ball threat type of a guy. I feel good about this Bills team. I know that they've come up short, and it feels like just from the recency and the frustration and just the general magnifying glass that's going to get put on them and the focus that's going to get put on them when they fail to reach that next true level. I think despite all of that, I feel pretty confident that they're eventually going to reach a Super Bowl in the next few years.
A team that is trying to make a Super Bowl and looked like they'd have a decent shot is the Chargers. And then, Joe, we find out this week that Herbert's injured, and that's one of those injuries that tends to linger. They say he's going to be ready for week one. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, that's so brutal. That's really, really brutal for the Chargers. Just like the terrible consistent or inconsistent luck that they've had, just things not working out for them. I was really bullish on what could happen for this Chargers offense. Now I don't know so much, but I was bullish because of the marriage of Justin Herbert to the ideologies of Jim Harbaugh, and I think that the offensive line could be really underrated. To not have him there to get reps in practice, to feel out and understand what he needs to do in this new scheme, it's going to slow them down. I wouldn't be surprised, and we kind of saw this with Joe Burrow, where his availability was inconsistent last training camp when he was dealing with the whole calf, lower body injury. That ultimately really hindered their progress, and they started a little bit slow. And the same thing is going to happen for the Chargers here. If they wanted to have a shock-to-the-world type of a season, which would have required a lot, but at least a strong season, they needed to get off to a hot start to build momentum. Now, I don't know if that's going to exactly be the case. This could be a five-week stretch to start the year where even if he is available week one, it might take a little bit of a feeling out period before everything starts to come together.
Talking with our good buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network. Check out his college and pro analysis there. Looks like in New York, bygones are going to be bygones. Jets and Rodgers, looks like they're starting to heat things up in practice. The report out of New York is that he looked incredible during a scrimmage. What do you think the potential is there? Could they really actually do this thing with Rodgers in year two?
Yeah, it all comes down to the biggest question and probably the most annoying one for Jets fans is, does Aaron Rodgers finish the season? Does he get all the way through the season? I know that it was such an extreme circumstance for him to get hurt the way that he did last year, but all it takes is just one bad hit, one bad bump later on in the season where we saw in his final years of his time with the Packers, he wasn't 100% totally available every single year. If he lasts, this receiver room, this offensive line is completely revamped. Their running back room is extremely deep. Breece Hall is going to be a really dynamic option for them, but Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis, who are really good spell options when running the ball for Breece Hall, because they're just going to pound the rock in between the tackles, short yardage. Having two hard-nosed, tough guys like that, I think, is going to be really great for this offense. They have everything. We know how good that defense is. We saw the fact that that defense kept them in games that they should not have been in when they could barely move the ball on offense, what they were able to accomplish. So they're on the radar deservedly for being in the AFC Championship conversation. It just all comes down to, does Aaron Rodgers play at least 15, 14 regular season games, and is he fully healthy and available during the playoffs?
One more AFC question before we switch back over to the NFC. The Bengals are sort of an enigma right now. Joe Burrow, we'll see what he can do coming back. I mean, I like the refreshed approach with the Eminem haircut, so we'll see what he can do there. But do they have enough on the offensive line and on the defense as a whole to pick up where they left off before a series of brutal injuries to Burrow?
Yeah, I was really excited with the results that they had from the 2024 NFL draft because you just asked about the offensive and defensive lines. I thought that they aggressively handled both of those situations that were question marks and, more importantly, got the right guys into the mix. I'm a very big McKinley Jackson fan. I think that he is going to be disruptive in the interior. And if Amarius Mims plays the whole year, which Georgia fans are familiar with, if he plays at least most of the season, I think he could have a really welcome to the league type of a moment where he just bursts onto the scene and everybody's talking about how fantastic he is. He quite literally did the same thing with Georgia where didn't have a ton of reps, didn't have a ton of experience, and the times that he stepped in, he was phenomenal. So I feel that they've really figured out what their offensive line, what their defensive line is going to be like. Another team where there's a lot of young faces that might take a little bit of a feeling out period, but I think by the end of the season, those young players are going to be much more confident. They're going to feel much better about the team that's playing alongside them, that they will have the necessary momentum to go on a run.
All right. Here's my issue. In the NFC, Joe, I think there's about three or four teams that are one notch below San Francisco, who I think will be the favorite again, and I'm having trouble sorting them out. So help me sort out the following teams and who you think are true contenders in the NFC between, let's say, the Lions, let's say the Packers, let's say the Philadelphia Eagles, and let's say maybe, do we want to throw maybe the Cowboys in there? Are there any teams outside of those, and how would you rank the ones that I just listed in terms of being legit contenders in the NFC?
Yeah, those are all the teams that I would go with. I think there's just huge, huge question marks of who outside of that is going to even be competent enough. I think that there's going to be some surprise teams that are wild card and budding young teams, like maybe the Commanders could be exciting this year if Jane Daniels has a good season. Maybe the Bears could reach the playoffs. And I think that there's actually a pretty good chance that they do, the way that that defense is built and how underrated the receiving room is for Caleb Williams. But to talk about the teams that you mentioned, the one I'm the most bullish on is the Packers. They have, and they just paid Jordan Love, they have this really well established and well put together receiver room that doesn't have a premier guy, but it has a collection of players that fit different roles for different situations. Jaden Reed is getting hyped up a ton by the coaching staff. Christian Watson is their go ball guy and a field stretcher that can take the top off of defenses. And then we know Romeo Dubs is somebody who has been highly regarded by that organization since they
head in towards the back end of a full four with you here on a gorgeous Saturday afternoon in the A and the great state of Georgia on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game, Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in our buddy Joe DeLeon from the Believe Network. He covers both college and pro ball. Joe, appreciate the time as always. How are you?
Doing good. We're getting so close. That Hall of Fame game that we got to watch just makes me feel so excited for this season to start.
Yeah, even though we didn't see, probably couldn't name one player on each team on the field, but that doesn't matter. Let's start down in Miami. We got some news today, and just so happens that the Falcons are going down there this week for a little practice and then a preseason game next weekend. What do you make of the investment, so much money into their top three offensive players in Tua, Waddle, and now Tyreek?
Yeah, I think that the way that they've constructed their roster is perfect for the way that Mike McDaniel wants to run his offense. And to do whatever you can to lock down the flow and the consistency and the explosiveness, I think that's really important for their long-term future. I feel like a lot of people, and I was one of these people who it took a little bit of a negative angle with looking at the Tua contract of, you know, does he really deserve it? But at the same time, it is so difficult to find just consistency at quarterback in the NFL. And we've seen so many teams just laying in purgatory for so many years. The Bears are a perfect example of that. And hopefully they end up finding their guy now with Caleb Williams. To have an understanding of what the future looks like at the position, even though Tua doesn't have the biggest arm, he might not create the biggest splash plays like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, but he's the right guy to deliver the ball to Jalen Waddle, to Tyreek Hill, to allow them to pick up huge amounts of yards after the catch. It works so well. So for them to have future solidified on offense, I think is huge for the long-term success of that team.
Do you foresee the Falcons offense being able to have success against the Dolphins defense as a couple of their key guys are still coming back from injury?
Yeah, I would say so. I feel like the Falcons defense, their secondary in particular, I know that A.J. Terrell has been fantastic, but I really truly don't know who exactly is going to be matching up in practice and is going to be able to lock down some of those guys. But I would believe that the Dolphins are going to have a pretty easy time trying to move the ball during practice.
All right, when it comes to some other headlines going on in the NFL, you just mentioned a guy in Josh Allen. I think the Bills are the wild card team in the AFC for sure because they lost a couple of key pieces. Do you think the window is closed there, or is it still open for a championship?
Absolutely. I think that this whole team for the Bills, they're slowly improving, and I'm excited to see what the receiving room is going to look like now that they added Keon Coleman into the mix. I feel like he could be the perfect marriage between a quarterback and a receiver, that their play styles really work well against one another, because we know that Josh Allen likes to take a lot of risks at times when he's playing. And to have somebody who, if he sees Keon Coleman open in a contested situation and he wants to take that risk, I'm confident that Keon Coleman is going to come down with that ball. He is a premier jump ball threat type of a guy. I feel good about this Bills team. I know that they've come up short, and it feels like just from the recency and the frustration and just the general magnifying glass that's going to get put on them and the focus that's going to get put on them when they fail to reach that next true level. I think despite all of that, I feel pretty confident that they're eventually going to reach a Super Bowl in the next few years.
A team that is trying to make a Super Bowl and looked like they'd have a decent shot is the Chargers. And then, Joe, we find out this week that Herbert's injured, and that's one of those injuries that tends to linger. They say he's going to be ready for week one. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, that's so brutal. That's really, really brutal for the Chargers. Just like the terrible consistent or inconsistent luck that they've had, just things not working out for them. I was really bullish on what could happen for this Chargers offense. Now I don't know so much, but I was bullish because of the, you know, the marriage of Justin Herbert to the ideologies of Jim Harbaugh, and I think that the offensive line could be really underrated. To not have him there to get reps in practice, to feel out and understand what he needs to do in this new scheme, it's going to slow them down. I wouldn't be surprised, and we kind of saw this with Joe Burrow, where his availability was inconsistent last training camp when he was dealing with the whole calf, lower body injury. That ultimately really hindered their progress, and they started a little bit slow. And the same thing is going to happen for the Chargers here. If they wanted to have a shock-to-the-world type of a season, which would have required a lot, but at least a strong season, they needed to get off to a hot start to build momentum. Now, I don't know if that's going to exactly be the case. This could be a five-week stretch to start the year where even if he is available week one, it might take a little bit of a feeling-out period before everything starts to come together.
Talking with our good buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network. Check out his college and pro analysis there. Looks like in New York, bygones are going to be bygones. Jets and Rodgers, looks like they're starting to heat things up in practice. The report out of New York is that he looked incredible during a scrimmage. What do you think the potential is there? Could they really actually do this thing with Rodgers in year two?
Yeah, it all comes down to the biggest question and probably the most annoying one for Jets fans is, does Aaron Rodgers finish the season? Does he get all the way through the season? I know that it was such an extreme circumstance for him to get hurt the way that he did last year, but all it takes is just one bad hit, one bad bump later on in the season, where we saw in his final years of his time with the Packers, he wasn't 100% totally available every single year. If he lasts, this receiver room, this offensive line is completely revamped. Their running back room is extremely deep. Breece Hall is going to be a really dynamic option for them, but Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis, who are really good spell options when running the ball for Breece Hall, because they're just going to pound the rock in between the tackles, short yardage. Having two hard-nosed, tough guys like that, I think, is going to be really great for this offense. They have everything. We know how good that defense is. We saw the fact that that defense kept them in games that they should not have been in when they could barely move the ball on offense, what they were able to accomplish. So they're on the radar deservedly for being in the AFC Championship conversation. It just all comes down to, does Aaron Rodgers play at least 15, 14 regular season games, and is he fully healthy and available during the playoffs?
One more AFC question before we switch back over to the NFC. The Bengals are sort of an enigma right now. Joe Burrow, we'll see what he can do coming back. I mean, I like the refreshed approach with the Eminem haircut, so we'll see what he can do there. But do they have enough on the offensive line and on the defense as a whole to pick up where they left off before a series of brutal injuries to Burrow?
Yeah, I was really excited with the results that they had from the 2024 NFL draft, because you just asked about the offensive and defensive lines. I thought that they aggressively handled both of those situations that were question marks, and more importantly, got the right guys into the mix. I'm a very big McKinley Jackson fan. I think that he is going to be disruptive in the interior. And if Amarius Mims plays the whole year, which Georgia fans are familiar with, if he plays at least most of the season, I think he could have a really welcome to the league type of a moment where he just bursts onto the scene and everybody's talking about how fantastic he is. He quite literally did the same thing with Georgia, where didn't have a ton of reps, didn't have a ton of experience, and the times that he stepped in, he was phenomenal. So I feel that they've really figured out what their offensive line, what their defensive line is going to be like. Another team where there's a lot of young faces that might take a little bit of a feeling out period, but I think by the end of the season, those young players are going to be much more confident. They're going to feel much better about the team that's playing alongside them, that they will have the necessary momentum to go on a run.
All right. Here's my issue. In the NFC, Joe, I think there's about three or four teams that are one notch below San Francisco, who I think will be the favorite again, and I'm having trouble sorting them out. So help me sort out the following teams and who you think are true contenders in the NFC between, let's say, the Lions, let's say the Packers, let's say the Philadelphia Eagles, and let's say maybe, do we want to throw maybe the Cowboys in there? Are there any teams outside of those, and how would you rank the ones that I just listed in terms of being legit contenders in the NFC?
Yeah, those are all the teams that I would go with. I think there's just huge, huge question marks of who outside of that is going to even be competent enough. I think that there's going to be some surprise teams that are wild card and budding young teams, like maybe the Commanders could be exciting this year if Jane Daniels has a good season. Maybe the Bears could reach the playoffs. And I think that there's actually a pretty good chance that they do, the way that that defense is built and how underrated the receiving room is for Caleb Williams. But to talk about the teams that you mentioned, the one I'm the most bullish on is the Packers. They have, and they just paid Jordan Love, they have this really well-established and well-put-together receiver room that doesn't have a premier guy, but it has a collection of players that fit different roles for different situations. Jaden Reed is getting hyped up a ton by that coaching staff. Christian Watson is their go-ball guy and a sealed stretcher that can take the top off of defenses. And then we know Romeo Dubs is somebody who has been highly regarded by that organization since they drafted him. That whole grouping, I think, has so much potential to be the best offense in the NFC. Behind them, you really could flip a coin, but I think that the Eagles are the next close favorite. Their defensive line is very, very stout. They've got the two Georgia guys in the middle, Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Their pass rush is going to be a little bit to be determined because of some turnover there. But their secondary is ridiculous, and we know how consistent and dominant that their offense can be when everybody's fully available and Jalen Hurts is in a rhythm. And now they have Saquon Barkley. But the way that they drafted this year and the way that they're able to get a steal like Cooper DeJean in the second round makes me pretty worried about what the Eagles are going to be doing to teams in the NFC East. Cowboys are right there behind them, though. I don't think that there's much separation because their strengths are very different than what the Eagles have, that their offensive line, we know how good they're going to be. We know that Dak Prescott, if he's connecting in a rhythm with CeeDee Lamb, and more importantly, in a situation where if he wants to prove himself, he could have an MVP-like season where a lot of people forgot he was deserving to be in that conversation at parts of last year. I'm probably the lowest on the Lions, not because I don't think that they could get back to the NFC Championship game. I just think that a lot of these other teams that fell short last year were very, very aggressive in free agency, were very, very aggressive in the draft. And while it's awesome that they have Terrion Arnold now, and I think that he is going to be huge for improving their secondary, it feels like they weren't as active as some of these other teams. And sure, they spent all that money on Jared Goff, but did they do enough to add to their arsenal, add to their already budding program to match up with these other teams that we're talking about?
Before I let you go, Joe, as we're wrapping up with our buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network, check out his college and pro work there. Georgia, does their ranking in your eyes fall at all after losing Ra-Ra Thomas because of his off-field actions?
No, I don't think so. I think that that receiving room that they had, the way that they rebuilt it in the transfer portal, it desperately needed an injection of just some juice. So guys that they brought in this year, I don't think are enough to make up for the loss of Ra-Ra Thomas. And Ra-Ra Thomas wasn't even really fully available, as we all know, that his presence, I don't think, is going to be completely missed. The biggest part is that their run game, I think, is going to be a real easy part for them to lean on. And then especially that we know that Carson Beck, when he's down on weapons to throw to, like he was for spurts throughout the year when Brock Bowers and Mike McConkey were hurt last season, that he's going to find ways to distribute the football. So I'm not too worried about it. I really don't think that losing Ra-Ra Thomas is going to really bring them down a whole lot. They're still my number one team. Without a doubt, with Ohio State right behind them.
All right, Joe, appreciate the time. As always, we will catch up soon as we get ourselves closer and closer to week one.
Of course. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That is our buddy Joe DeLeon there. Make sure you check out his work. All right, when we get back, this is going to be a fun little exercise that I'm going to do with E. It is list season. We know that. We are in the heart of list season. And there's a list put out by ESPN of the 80 best college quarterbacks of the last decade. Got a lot of issues, as you might expect. I will share those with you next. E as well. One more hour to play. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.